There was a popular reality TV show that aired a few years ago called Storage Wars. And this show followed several thrift shop owners and antique store owners as they went to these storage auctions. And of course, like any reality TV show, it was the same exact plot every week with added unnecessary drama to increase viewers. And if you don't know what happens at a storage auction, basically all of the storage units that are forgotten about or their owners passed away or their owners weren't able to make payments to are auctioned off to the highest bidder. And right before the auction begins or right before a unit is sold, each bidder or each potential bidder has the opportunity to briefly peer into the storage unit to determine what has value and what doesn't. And based on their assessment of the storage unit's value, they will place a bid on the unit as a whole. And of course, they want to pay the least amount possible so they can make the most profit because, well, they're running a business. And when one locker is sold, they move right on to the next. And after the auction is completed, the main people that the show followed were filmed rummaging through the storage locker, determining what had value and what didn't. And it was a rarity because sometimes, and this didn't happen every week, but sometimes they would go to an expert to get an appraisal on something special, and that was a real treat if you were a fan of the show. But this TV show, in context with the verses that Kate read a few moments ago, paint a bleak picture of what happens when we store our treasures here on Earth. The first thing that Storage Wars shows us is that we are forgotten. I bet if you've seen this show, you can't recall a single owner of a storage unit. In no way, shape, or form did the owners of the storage units receive fame or recognition because they were not identified with the storage unit. I think this is normal at storage units or storage places, that they're identified with a letter and then a number. My name, if I had one, like Mason Tribble, it wouldn't say Mason Tribble Storage Unit. It would just be a letter, like a random letter, like A42. So whoever owned the storage unit would get no credit. And the second thing that we can learn from Storage Wars is that the stuff for which we spend our entire lives working is bought for pennies on the dollar or is tossed out as junk. So when Jesus is standing on the Mount of Beatitudes and he's giving the Sermon on the Mount here in chapter 6, and he asks, "Where are you storing your treasure?" There are only two possible ways that we can answer this question. We can either answer with, "We're storing our treasure in a storage locker that we seldomly visit," or we can answer with, "Jesus, we're storing our treasure in heaven." And before you ask yourself where you're storing your treasure, first ask yourself what type of treasure you're storing. Because the answer to that question will determine where you're storing your treasure. You can either store temporary treasure or eternal treasure. You can either store treasures that are of this earth or treasures that are of heaven. And if you're storing temporary treasure, odds are it will run out before your life is over. It may even run out before today is over with, before next week is over with, or before next year approaches us. And the first thing that we should notice from this passage is that a treasure is promised in heaven that's so great we can't even begin to fathom it. Let's compare a diamond. Let's think about a diamond. A diamond is the most valuable substance that we know of here on Earth, and because, well, one, it's the hardest substance. Thank you, AP Chemistry. And diamonds don't rust. Moths can't destroy them. But diamonds do collect dust, and they can be stolen. And so Jesus is essentially saying here, this is everything you know about the concept of values, about valuables. And this is what is waiting for you in heaven. What is waiting for you in heaven is so much greater. It's so much greater, you can't even begin to understand it. And the things of this earth, when compared to these heavenly things, are made utterly worthless. And this treasure lingo, it might be a little foreign to us because, well, we're not a congregation full of 16th century pirates. Like Blackbeard himself isn't sitting on the front pew and Captain Kidd isn't sitting in Second Baptist. So this treasure talk can be a little confusing. But I think Jesus could have used some synonyms to make this same point. The first synonym that he could have used would be faith. Because it's a part of our human nature to have faith in things. Whether it be one thing or many things, we all have faith in something whether we realize it or not. So instead of asking, "Where is your treasure being stored?" Jesus could have asked, "What is your faith in?" And if he asked that question, I think these verses would read something like this. Don't place your faith in the things of this earth, for they will never satisfy you. They will always fail you and leave you unfulfilled. Place your faith in heaven, for it is where your heart belongs. You will never go unsatisfied, and nothing will take you from me. Wherever you place your faith, there the desires of your heart will also be. What is your faith in? The second synonym that Jesus could have used would be identity. Instead of asking, where are you storing your treasures? He could have asked, where are you finding your identity? Or where are you seeking your identity? And if he asked that question, I believe these verses would read something like this. Don't search for your identity in this world, where your past defines you, where your guilt and shame haunt you, and where your legacy is forgotten. Find your identity in heaven, in me, for I say you are enough, and you are freed from your guilt and shame. Forget about yourself and embrace your identity in me. Wherever you seek your identity, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where are you seeking your identity? And from these verses, we see that storing treasure in heaven, this process of sanctification, isn't like storing stuff in a seldomly visited storage locker. It's a lifelong process. It's not meant to be one and done. It's not a box to be checked and then move on to the next thing. It's a lifelong process. This life where Jesus, when we live it, when we place our faith in him, he begins to make our lives look more like his. And this treasure is meant to be cherished. This faith is meant to grow, and this identity is meant to be embraced. And to my fellow seniors who were just recognized a few moments ago, if your faith is like a storage locker, you cannot afford to have only stored things there in your youth. You have to visit it regularly, for it is yours. Your faith is your responsibility. You have to take the initiative. No longer is it your youth pastor's responsibility. No longer is it your children's minister's responsibility or your old pastor's. It's yours. You can't even solely depend on your parents to store things there either, because they won't be with you wherever you go, whether it be college or the military or the workforce. They won't be there to wake you up like they did this morning. I urge you to find a church, find a community of believers, and get plugged in there. Get plugged into a ministry and let them pour into you and you pour into them. I want to ask you this, and I want you to think about it. Does attending First Baptist Church of Carrollton your entire childhood mean anything at all if you don't revisit your faith locker when you leave this place? And in closing, the fact that something greater than what we have now is promised when we store our treasure in, place our faith in, and find our identity in heaven ought to give us a sense of urgency. Thank you for your time.